Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Already been spoken. Today is FX Sunday, Family Experience Sunday, one of my favorite Sundays of the year, simply because I love kids. And I'm excited when I see kids lead us in worship. I'm excited when we see young people use their gifts and their talents for the Lord. Somebody say amen. And I get excited when I see our preschool kids up here dancing and loving on Jesus. And it's so cool because I know that there's so many things and so many people that are fighting for their attention and their affinity. And I'm watching our kids at the ocean this morning love Jesus. Somebody say amen. And that's cool. That's cool. One of the things that we cherish at the ocean, one of the things that we hold dear to our heart, that we're very convicted about, something that really matters to us is kids. We love children and we love youth. We love teenagers and we love primary age kids and we love preschoolers and we love nursery and believe that they're not just the church of tomorrow, but they are the church of today. And if we push them off to tomorrow, we're going to miss a golden opportunity. They are the church of today, and we have to address them as they are the church of today. And one of the things that we hold close to our heart is children. Why? Because children mattered to Jesus. Children matter to Jesus, so children matter to us. The psalmist says this in Psalm 127, verse 3, that children are a heritage from the Lord. The offspring are a reward from Him. Children are a heritage from the Lord. And one of the things that I have grappled with as a father for the last 20 years is realizing that, man, I love my children. I love Caitlin and Braden and Barrett with all of my heart. But one of the things I've grappled with as a dad is the thought that, man, before I loved them, Jesus loved them. And the reality is they belong to Him before they belong to me. Now, I'm a very engaged dad. I'm engaged in my kids' life. I talk to them every day, even though they don't stay at my house anymore. I talk to my kids every day. I'm very engaged in their life. And it's hard for me to even fathom that somebody else could love my kids more than me. But I know that Jesus does. That He loves my kids more than me. And the reality is they came from Him. And they belong to Him first. And so with that means I have a responsibility as a parent to love my children the way that Jesus loves my children. But what's that look like? Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 19 this morning. Matthew chapter 19. We're preaching a message simply titled Marbles, and it'll make sense to you eventually. But just follow me. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to read a very short story. Somebody say short. Amen.
Short, amen.
How many of you in school hated it when you had to have a novel and had to read it? Yeah, like in grammar class, and they gave you this big book and said, well, we got to read this. Everybody's like, ah. Wasn't so bad if it was just a short story, like a page. That wasn't so bad. But I got one kid. I'm not going to mention his name, but it won't be hard for you to figure it out. He hates to read. He can't stand it. I mean, he don't even like to read one sentence. It's not his thing. And me, I love to read, so I don't know. I love to read. But this morning, we're going to read a very short story with a very powerful meaning. Somebody say amen. Short and powerful. Short and powerful. Out of Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 13. Okay. Let me read it to you this morning. It says, then the people brought little children to Jesus, for Him to place His hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Lord, would you speak to us today as parents? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for those of you who may be sitting in the audience this morning saying, "Well, I'm not a parent, Pastor Jimmy. This message doesn't really involve me." The reality is, how many of you are born again and have given your life to Jesus? Raise your hand. For everyone who's raising your hand, you've been adopted into the family of God. We are all part of a bigger family called the family of God. And whether we have biological children or not, this morning we all have spiritual children. We are sons and daughters and fathers and mothers in the kingdom. Somebody say amen. Amen. So if you're here today and you're an adult, every one of these children are your responsibility. As they are mine. We are spiritual fathers and mothers to every child that comes to our church. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so this message is for all of us today. As we begin to look at the story here in Matthew chapter 19, where the parents were bringing their children to Jesus. Why? Because as spiritual parents and as physical and biological parents, we have a responsibility to bring our children to Jesus. We have a responsibility to bring our children to Jesus. And in the middle of this story, we see this culture, this nature of the disciples who were rebuking the parents for bringing the children. Stop bringing your kid. This, do you know who this is? This is Jesus. Get your kids out of here. He's got bigger things to do. This is Jesus over. Leave Jesus alone. He's healing people. And if we're not careful, we will take on the mentality of the disciples where our children become second-class citizens in our lives. Oh, this is church. Just go over there. Oh, this is grown-up stuff. Just go over there. I know at times for adults, sometimes we have the propensity to think that church is for us. But the reality is church is for children too. Jesus is for everyone. And this is what he's trying to tell the disciples when he gave them this strong rebuke and said, "Stop. Do not hinder the children from coming to me. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Don't hinder them. If you have a marker out or a highlighter on your smartphone or device, you might want to highlight that word hinder. We're going to touch on it in just a second. We are not to hinder the children from coming to Jesus, but we have a responsibility to bring them to Jesus. You see, I believe this, and I've shared it before, but I'll say it again. I have a unique perspective on children's ministry and youth ministry due to the 26 years I spent ministering to teenagers in the local church. And here's what I believe. We as parents, it's not the church's primary responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the church to be the primary spiritual leader in your kids' lives. It is not the responsibility of the children's workers and the youth workers to be the primary spiritual voice in our kids' lives. As moms and dads, that's our responsibility. We are their parents. And I'll say this again because I believe it's so true that what we do at home needs to be only supported and echoed by what happens at the church. But when the children are hindered, here's what hinders our children is when they learn one thing at church, but they see something different at home. Or when they hear something at church, but they never hear the same thing at home. When our teachers who work with our young people tell our kids, man, you got to have a daily prayer life. You got to spend time in the Word daily. But yet they never see mom and dad do it. That becomes a hindrance. You know why? Because that builds confusion. My mom and dad don't do it. They're Christians. You understand what I'm saying? Are you following me? Moms, dads, are you following me?
Yes.
And here's the deal. I'm not bagging on you today. I'm talking to me too, because I'm a parent. But if we're not careful, we'll create confusion and hindrances in our kids' lives because what we do does not match what they're taught on Sunday. But what we see in this story is that the children mattered so much to Jesus, he said, hey, don't hinder them from coming to me. Keep bringing them to me. And as a church, as spiritual moms and dads, we have a responsibility to continue to bring our children to Jesus. We have a responsibility every Sunday to bring our kids to Jesus. As biological parents, moms and dads, we have a responsibility to bring our kids to Jesus. You see, we have sometimes a mentality that more of Jesus is caught than it is taught, but not at a developmental age. When kids are in developmental stage from age 0 to 16, you don't expect them to catch what you should teach. We can't expect them to catch and us not teach. I mean, you wouldn't send your 3-year-old to the ocean and say, go fish for your dinner. And if you don't catch anything, that's too bad. You wouldn't send your kids into the grocery store or to the market and say, well, go buy your food. And when you get home, you can cook it and eat it. We don't do that. Why? Because we know that a 2-year-old is not going to go into the store and buy their food and go home, put it in the stove or on top of the stove and cook it and then eat it. Why? Because they don't know how. But so many times we leave Jesus to be caught rather than taught because it's easier. But what's happening in this story is Jesus is telling us just the opposite. You need to bring your children unto me. And what Jesus understood is something that was taught in the Old Testament. And I want you to see something with me this morning. If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Deuteronomy, way back in the Old Testament. The book of Deuteronomy, and this is what God told Moses concerning the children of Israel. As they were moving into the promised land, into the land that God had promised them, there were some instructions given to parents. There were instructions given to parents, and God spoke to Moses, and this is what he said, and Moses is relaying these words to the parents of the children of Israel. He says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. How many of you want to enjoy long life? Say amen. How many of you want to enjoy long life?
Amen.
I hereby declare today that the secret to long life is not vegetables. It's following the Lord's commands. Okay, that's another sermon. Hear, Israel, and be careful. Careful. Be careful. Give great care to. Give lots of care to, be careful, to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. For these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Pay close attention now. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. These commands, these teachings that you hear from me, from God, teach them to your children. Impress this on their hearts. Tie them on your hands as reminders. Put them on your forehead so you don't forget. Put them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Put them everywhere you go so that you don't forget that you have a responsibility to impress this on your children. Talk about it when you're at home. How many of you talk about Jesus with your kids when you're at home on other days besides Sunday? It's an easy conversation on the way home from church. Hey, what'd you learn? Let me see your craft. But then you get home and life happens and you don't even think about church with your children until the next Saturday night when you realize, oh, we got to get up early in the morning and go to church. What are they going to wear? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just raise your hand and say, Pastor, you're reading my mail. Just say it. There it is. I know. You know how I know? Because I'm a parent. Trust me, things aren't always different in a minister's house. We struggle with the same things you struggle with. Okay? So I get it. But this message, even as I was preparing, was hitting me so hard to remember that we got to keep the main thing is moms and dads. We have a responsibility. And when God gave these words to Moses for the children, if you fast forward even into Jesus in this scene in the middle of the street, Jesus, he knows the responsibility for parents and the importance that we have of bringing our kids to Jesus so that they can be blessed. And the reality this morning is kids aren't just something secondary in our lives. When we become parents, our children become priorities. Let me say that again. When we become parents, our children become priority. It's not about me anymore. There may be times I got to call my friends on the phone and say, you know what, I know we used to hang out every Thursday night, but I got kids now and I got to be at home. I love you, but I can't do this anymore. I mean, I know we used to hang out on Saturday mornings and chill out and eat breakfast and talk about guy stuff. But we're not doing that anymore because I got kids and I got to talk about life stuff with my kids. Who's the best friend to your children? Who do your children look up to the most? Yeah, I keep this card around often because how many of you know we have bad days as parents? Anybody ever have a bad day as a parent? Especially when your kids get older. You simply begin to find out how irrelevant you are the older your kids get. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, when they need you, you're important, but about the time they hit 12, 13, 14, they know how to open the fridge and get in the cabinet. You don't matter no more. Just give me money. I'll go get it. Can I get an amen? So this is a card, and I've gotten a lot of cards through the years, lots of them. But last year, or not last year, the year before last, I got this card from my kids on Father's Day. And this helps me keep it into perspective. And I don't read this to boast, but I read this as a reminder for me. Okay? I won't read the names. I'll just read what they wrote. You have been my best friend, mentor, and father. You're such an amazing role model, and you're someone I aspire to be. Your strength in mind, and especially in spirit, are two things that I admire most about you. I love you tons, Dad. Hey, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. The dictionary defines father as a man in relation to a child, but you've been so much more. You're a provider and a protector, a safe haven. You're a constant. You always encourage and never let me forget that God has great plans for me. You always call me one of your heroes, but you're my hero. I love you so much. And the last one, Dad, you're the best dad ever. I'm very lucky to call you Dad. If we think that what we do doesn't matter, think again. Think again. See, the reality is when it comes to the spiritual well-being of our children, we have a tendency to put all that responsibility in an hour and a half on Sunday morning. But the reality is our kids are here an hour and a half, but how many hours are they at home? Who's going to have the greatest impact? It's important that we as parents begin to really grab onto the fact that we have a responsibility to bring our kids to Jesus. And when I say this, you have to know I'm not hounding you today. I'm talking to me. We have a responsibility to take care of our children. It doesn't belong to teachers and Sunday school teachers and coaches and everybody else in their life as parents. It's us. We have to be that primary voice in their life. And when we look at this story of the children coming to Jesus, there's two things I want to bring out to you quickly this morning. And the first one is that it is the role of parents to lead their children to Jesus. It is our responsibility to bring our kids to Jesus. But we also notice something in this story about parents, that the parents in Matthew chapter 19 were desperate to get their kids to Jesus. That even as the disciples were saying no, they were still bringing them. They were desperate. As parents, we have to see the desperate circumstance in our kids' lives. They are depending on us to lead them to Jesus. As a church, they're depending on us to lead them to Jesus. And from this story this morning, when we look at the desperation of the parents, three things that describe a desperate parent this morning. Every parent needs to hear this. Number one, desperate parents are parents of purpose. Desperate parents are parents of purpose. Moms and dads, are you intentional with your children? Are you intentional with your children? Do you pray with them? Do you pray for them? Do they hear you pray for them? Do they feel you pray with them? Dad, when's the last time you knelt down with your son and just put your arm on his shoulder and said, hey, buddy, I'm just going to pray for you. Can I pray with you? Dad, when's the last time you took out your Bible and said, son, hey, grab your Bible, let's read this together. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a Bible teacher. You don't have to be. You let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit needs to do. God's the ultimate parent anyway. Moms, are you intentional with your daughters, with your sons? Are you a parent of purpose? What's the most important activity in your child's life? Now I'm going to get real youth pastor here. Is that all right? I'm going to get real youth pastor on you. Is that all right? Is that cool with you? Just say yeah. Yeah. What's the most important activity that you provide for your child? What's the one thing that you're most intentional about providing for your child outside of school? Is it sports? Maybe football, maybe basketball, whatever sport your kid may be in. Is it some kind of club, some kind of activity? The money that you spend on your child, where do you spend it? And when you look at all the things you provide for your children, where does church fit into that? I can't pay 15,000 shillings for my teenager to go hang out with their youth leaders on a Saturday to play basketball or football and to go eat pizza, but I don't have a problem dropping 20,000 to make sure they get to that basketball game. Oh, I'll send you to the cinema. That's not a problem. You want to go hang out with your friends, go to the cinema? That's awesome. Here's some shillings, go enjoy. Here's 10,000 shillings, go do this. But yet, Pastor, we just don't have time on Saturday to get our kids all the way to Misaki to hang out with leaders who love them and want to pour into their lives. I know, right? Easy, easy. But there's a reality to that. That we spend time and money and resources providing so many things for our kids that aren't nearly as important as God. I mean, do you pay more for a phone for your child than you do a Bible? Oh. Just putting it in perspective. I'm talking to me too, trust me, because man, my kids like them big phones. I'm like, gee whiz. Quit calling your friends, call on God. I don't know, it's cheaper. But desperate parents are parents of purpose. They're intentional with their kids. They're intentional about the spiritual development and spiritual growth of their kids, and they take responsibility for it. You don't want to give your kids to Joel and say, Joel, take my kids to Jesus. But so many times, that's our expectation. And it's not that Joel is not capable, but it's not his responsibility. It's ours as mom and dad. Second of all, desperate parents are not just parents of purpose, but they're also parents of prayer. I go back to this because one of the most incredible things your kids will ever witness in their life is a parent who prays. I'm going to say that again because some of you are like, you're real quiet right now. One of the most amazing things you'll ever do for your child is allow your child to see you pray. And not only to see you pray, but to enter into prayer with your child. And maybe even ask your child to pray for more than dinner. I mean, if the extent of your prayer as a family is, Lord, bless this food in Jesus' name, amen. That's pretty sad. If that's the only time you see your children see you pray is at mealtime, that's brutal. Because what are they going to do when times get tough? Who are they going to turn to? I mean, when they lose their job or they go through a time of trial in life, what do you want them to do? Get on their knees and say, Lord, bless this food, amen. What have we taught them? Because the greatest weapon in our warfare is prayer. And if we haven't taught our kids how to pray anything but Lord, bless this food, amen, we're leaving them pretty unarmed. Desperate parents are parents of purpose. Desperate parents are parents of prayer. And finally, desperate parents are parents of presence. Don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean gifts. As much as some of you think you can buy your kids loyalty and affection, you can't. I don't care how rich you are, there are some things money can't buy. The Beatles knew it. If the Beatles knew it, we know that. Can't buy me love. I mean, they knew it. In their warped state of mind, they even knew that there are things money can't buy. But how many times do we try to purchase things to suffice when really we just need to be present? Here, just watch this. I'm busy. We're at the restaurant, and rather than tend to our children, oh, I know what you, here, watch this cartoon. I'm busy. There's a lot of murmuring going on. Desperate parents are parents of presence. We have to be in our kids' lives. We need to be there. When we become parents, you leave work, you go home. And you don't go home at 10 o'clock at night. You go home while your kids are still awake. Because the last people that your kids need to see before they go to bed is mom and dad. Not your dada. Dadas aren't parents. It's a whole nother sermon. Dadas aren't parents. You are. I am. We have to be present in our kids' lives. Some of you, your kids spend more time with the dada than they do with you. Can I just tell you? Ay, ay, ay. One day you're going to look back and say, I don't know why my kid doesn't call me when they're in trouble. I don't know why they're calling the dada. I'm going to tell you why. Because they trust the dada and they don't trust you. Because trust is spent T-I-M-E, not T-R-U-S-T. Brutal message, isn't it? I mean, but it's real. They're ours in Jesus' name. The Lord's given them to us as a gift, as a heritage, to be loved, to be cared for. Desperate parents are parents of purpose, parents of prayer, and parents of presence. And some of us, we need to realize what that looks like. And I want to share this message with you in video form. So if our guys would help us out, I want you to see just a short little 3-minute video real quick to talk about what it means to be a parent of presence. June?
I heard an illustration the other day where someone used a marble to represent every weekend they have with their kids from the time they're born till the time they leave their house. It came out to about 1,000 marbles. 1,000 marbles. It kind of sounds like a lot, but before you know it, those weekends start slipping away. For me, the hardest thing, the thing that really broke my heart, was realizing how many handfuls I've already thrown away. So much time wasted. And what do I have to show for it? Life is precious. And even though I've squandered a lot of my time, now I cherish each one of these marbles. I guess you can say that seeing how much time I waste has changed my perspective on what's important. Careers and hobbies are good things, but they certainly aren't the ultimate things I had made them for. I guess this life is all about perspective. And even though I know I can't spend every weekend with my family, I can certainly try. I can't believe before that I was so dedicated to the things that don't really matter. Me? I've got 728 marbles left. And I can't wait to enjoy each one.
Parents, today when you leave church, you're going to be handed a marble. as a reminder for you that we have to be parents of presence. Because one day we won't be able to be anymore. So we have to take advantage of the time God's given us to be desperate parents. Somebody say amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Jesus, thank you for teaching us what a godly parent looks like. Because you're present with us 24/7. You pray for us. You intercede for us to the Father. And you're intentional and you have a purpose for our lives. Jesus, you are the model of the perfect parent. So desperate that you gave your whole life for us. Lord, may we learn from Jesus today. And may we as parents take this opportunity to evaluate who we are as parents and what we do and how we view our children. And may we assume the responsibility, Lord. May we accept the responsibility to bring our children to you. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for all the amazing kids today at church. Thank you, Lord, for loving them and helping them to love church. We're grateful that they love church. And Lord, I pray over every family, Lord, may you bless it. May you anoint them, Lord. May you let your hand of favor rest upon them today. We thank you for our Ocean family and for every single family that makes up the bigger family. We're grateful and we love you today, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on.